Amen. Well, today is very important because the Lord has given us such an incredible message of intimacy with God. How many of you are glad to know that God loves you more than what you can do for Him? That it really is about knowing Him in an intimate way, that the whole reason Jesus died on the cross is so that the Spirit of the living God could return to its original dwelling place, you and me, and we could experience inward intimacy with God. And He's given us such a great revelation of His indwelling Spirit and the power of His Word, just like what we're saying, that we are who God says we are. My emotions and feelings do not determine what's true about me. Truth was here long before I got here. Truth will be here long after I'm gone. I do not determine the truth about me. I discover the truth about me with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And He has blessed us with this truth, many of these truths. I would even go on to say a message of relationship, not religion. And what we mean by that is that we live from what He supplies, not what He demands. Thank God for a new covenant with better promises. Yeah, better promises. So we were learning to live from grace. We're learning 2 Peter 1:3 that you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. No more are we trying to live from a posture of earning things from God, but rather we're simply learning to appropriate what is already given to us in Christ. That's why we live by what He supplies, not by what He demands. And God has given us this passion for relationship with a living God, not historical Jesus, but Jesus alive in the present day by the Holy Spirit, whose glory and opinion and perspective shines upon our faces every single day. Like I said earlier when I was praying, if the glory of the old covenant was so great, Moses had to veil his face. What would they say about us? And the glory of this new covenant perspective and intimacy we have with the living God. It's incredible. So it's a grace-based message, living by what God supplies, not by what He demands. And we hear that so often here. People discovering, hey, God actually loves me because of who He is, not because of what I do, and desires that I know Him intimately. And from that intimacy, He desires that I make Him known to other people. That again, we're not trying to earn something. We're trying to appropriate what is already ours. But God doesn't just want that message preached from our pulpit. He wants that message lived out on a daily basis. Influencing our families. Influencing our families for generations to come. If truth is already established, how many of you think it'd be good for every human being who's born on this planet to come to the knowledge of the truth? If that is the plumb line, if that's already been set, if life by the Creator, God, has already been determined how life is to be lived, I think that's important for people to know. So what He gets to you, He wants to get through you. And then it's lived out on a daily basis. He's not interested in this word and this revelation of relationship, not religion, to the word be made sermon. He wants the word to be made flesh in every one of us for generations to come. And manifesting, how about this, in heartfelt obedience. Obedience is not a bad word in grace circles. Amen. Obedience is a great word that fosters and facilitates our intimacy and our connection with Him. It's not works. It's not a work statement. Scripture says in the New Testament, it talks about in Hebrews that sin wars against your soul. Sin wars against your soul. So God wants us to be obedient to Him for our sake. Okay, and it doesn't give us intimacy with God, but it does foster and continue to grow our relationship with Him as we do the things He asks us to do. So we want it not to be a sermon. We want it to be manifesting in our lives, in heartfelt obedience, enriching our intimacy with Him every day, the Word being made flesh in us, and then making disciples, which is what Gretchen's going to talk about today, is one of those great vehicles that He's given us to do just that, where we've got that word on reproduction. We've been entrusted with great truth. We've been entrusted with intimacy with God. Now comes, how do we allow that to affect other people around us? I don't want to just take it with me all to myself. I'd like to share it. And making disciples is the vehicle he's given us to do that. Discipleship has been missing from the Western church for years and years. Disciple making gives us the connection with one another and the resources we've lacked at times to be equipped not only to help each other live our true identity in Christ, but to help others live their true identity in Christ. And that's so much of what disciple making is about. Gretchen really sees this well. She sees the strategy of this well, this multiplication effect, because you've heard us say Sundays aren't enough. Amen. But what if we had pockets of bodies and little house meetings and so forth where people are getting together intentionally to grow each other in Christ and to facilitate a movement of the grace and the love and the intimacy of God that he's bestowed upon us. So would you put your hands together with me this morning? Let's welcome our community pastor, Gretchen Cannon, as she comes and shares on disciple making.
How is everybody that I haven't said good morning to yet? Man, I am so excited about today. It was almost like, where do you start, right? So we're going to start in the beginning. How's that sound, right? We're going to start in the beginning. So, Father, we thank you for the next however many minutes that we have just to focus on what you want us to hear in this. And Father, I submit myself to you. As I stay connected to you, if I get off course, please reconnect me. Father, let my words be life and filled with love, even when they're hard. And Father, that we may fully see the things that you are asking us to walk out, not just here at Grace Church, but as Christ followers who are passionate for you and the things of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So just a few little things of how I got here. And I don't mean like here on earth or here at Grace Church, but the middle of 2016, I shifted my role, my main role, from Kids of Grace to discipleship. And the elders had it on their heart. The Lord was stirring some things inside of me. And even that year, so it was the end of 2015 when the stirring began. And even that year, the Lord gave a goal here at Grace Church to proclaim God's truth and empower his people via an emphasis on discipleship. That was 2016. Now, we found in some old sermon notes he was actually speaking this stuff, 2010, 11, 12, some places like that. But we didn't have language for it. And so beginning in 2016, I took on this role, and I just started asking the Lord, and the elders had asked me, ask the Lord what he wants for discipleship here at Grace. And the first thing was for me to get free from a bunch of junk and get healed so I could hear him for what he wanted here instead of a bunch of lenses. And so I went off to Colorado by myself. It was the most glorious trip I have ever been on. And the Lord began, continued, but really began to really heal some things inside of me. And in that time, he gave me some very strict instruction. And so we're going to talk about some of that today. But this year, our goal here at Grace Church is to develop a culture of intentionality regarding disciple making, maturity, and lordship. Now, this is not the only goal, but this is the goal that is focused on what we're talking about today. And within this goal, we were to be intentional at creating opportunities for people to mature spiritually. And if you were here last week, or if you watched online when Jody shared her heart for connections, like that is part of even what he's doing there, is providing pathways and opportunities for you to grow with each other, but also with him. And then being intentional to take people to the level of accountability in their relationship with Jesus by developing layers of discipleship here at Grace. And I'm going to touch briefly on all of these layers, but some of them you're going to be very familiar with, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on them, and we're going to dive into disciple making. And I love when we started this series, Annie was the first one to share, and she laid a very good introduction to what is brewing in the Father's heart about disciple making here at Grace Church. And then Gavin followed it with all about spiritual family and intentionality and so many components there that are a part of disciple making. But it's not just about all being together and we hold up in a house together. And so then Steve and I went into community and outreach and the balanced Christianity of up in and out. And if you weren't able to catch that Wednesday night live stream, I encourage you to go back on the website and catch that first one that Steve and I were together on, where we talked in detail about the balanced Christianity of living up with the Father, in with each other in close, intimate relationships, and out with the crowd. Because everywhere you see through the Gospels and even in Acts, that's what Jesus and the early church did, is they lived in that balance and that rhythm. And that's what we're called to do. So here at Grace Church, in the layers, as it says there, of discipleship, he has organically put together some really cool layers. And kind of the first one I call is just community. So if you've been involved in 60 plus, if you've been involved in finding hope, if you've been involved in financial peace, outreach teams, prayer shield, those types of things, those are a place for you to grow spiritually and connect with each other in the area of community. And then organic gatherings that are focused on growing in the Lord. And these are nothing that the Church of Grace Church, as far as the organization or the leadership, have put together. These are things that are birthed in people's hearts that they then go and do on their own. And it is beautiful. Gladys has a group on Wednesdays that she meets with some women, and Karen and I had the privilege of going a few weeks ago and teaching them how to eat the word. And so if you missed that announcement, we are offering Eat the Word here in February, and the sign up is online. So I encourage you to sign up for that if you're interested to know how to do it, to know what it's all about, what are you even talking about, those kind of things. But also George, and I don't know if he still is because their home is a little displaced, he used to hang out with some men in a shop once a week. And I know Roger Tudor has some people hanging out at his house, Aaron Whitlock, just people that have no, it is not, hey, can we come do this? But rather it is, the Lord has put this on my heart, and I'm going to walk out my obedience to grow myself and the people that I'm in relationship with the Lord. And that is a beautiful layer of discipleship here at Grace. And so if you're doing that, thank you. Thank you. The next layer I would just describe as our in-home small groups. So you've heard the word discovery groups. How many of you have been involved in discovery groups here at Grace? Yeah, that's a lot. That's an awesome percentage. And so we launched those in 2016. We started here at the church and Be Transformed, and really did a lot of self-examination before we went into the homes. But if you're not familiar with discovery groups, this is a fantastic place for you to start growing and getting to know each other. We offer them in the spring and the fall. And they vary on the time frame. This year, we're going to start in March, and the date is already on the website calendar. So if you want to mark your calendars in that. And if you've hosted or facilitated for me in the past, Nikki or I will be in touch with you soon to just bring together what the Lord's wanting to do. But we're going to launch those after Eat the Word, after our four-week Eat the Word, because we want everybody to have an opportunity there. Also, in the discovery groups, we don't use a curriculum that we go and buy. This is something that is put together based upon the truths that the Lord has given us here at Grace Church and our core values and our goals and things like that. And so if you're interested in even what that looks like, they are all on our website. They are under the Ministries tab, and it says Discovery Groups, and then within that it says Resources. Click there. There's videos. There's the discussion guides. You can do them together in your home, with your family, in your marriage, maybe with a friend. I know it is the new year, and I have had so many questions about good Bible studies. And those are good Bible studies for you to just dive into, and have a great team that helps put those together. But disciple making is what we've kind of termed as the deepest level of discipleship here at Grace. And so I want to spend the rest of today and then next week just talking about what that looks like, because you may have heard me say this before, but I was born Baptist before I was born again. Anybody know what I mean about something like that? And I spent hours and hours and hours in discipleship training, and yet I still had no clue what it meant to make a disciple. I didn't have a clue. I just knew you were supposed to do it, and it was something that you were supposed to do to all nations. And it's like, I've only gone to Florida besides Oklahoma. How am I supposed to make disciples, and particularly all over all the nations? And so what that looks like. But we believe that what the Lord has given us in starting at the end, really, of 2017 and then it's just been continual, is what we feel like is the closest or the truest form to the Jesus model that we have seen compared to Scripture. It is relational. Relational with Him and relational with each other. There's no syllabus. There's no curriculum. There's no process as far as, like, we're going to do this and then we're going to do this and we're going to do this. It is a very, the process has, is like huge overview rather than fine details. And so for those of you that want the instruction manual to build something, it is called the Holy Spirit and the box of tools He gives us. And that is it. Because, the guy that, ended up discipling me, he told me when we were kind of done, and he said, if I was going to give you a gift, I would give you a model airplane or a model car, and I would take out the instructions, because I've never seen anybody just take off with this without needing to know all of the details. And I'm an incredibly detailed person, so it was like black and white. It didn't make sense. But that's what relational style Jesus disciple making is about, that we just go with Him and He is our guide. Now, there is some structure in the sense of there's what I call a toolbox and kind of seasons or phases, and we'll get into that today and tomorrow. But this is not the only, I said tomorrow, didn't I? Hey, you guys, come tomorrow. Come tomorrow. Now, I won't be here except for a little bit, but come back tomorrow. Yeah, next week. Yes, next Sunday. Now, this is something I need everybody to really tune into. This is not the only path to Jesus. And this is not the only path to spiritual maturity. But we believe here that this is the path that he is asking us to take here at Grace Church. And he is continuing to build and build on the foundation of him as we go through this. We also do believe that it is effective and efficient to fill in the gaps from those that are brand new babies in the Lord. Now, whether that means that you accepted him as Savior yesterday or today, or you've been a Christian for 40 years and you still are young in the Lord, to those that are stagnant. Like it fills in the gaps for all of those and brings us into maturity in Christ. Just how Ephesians 4, how it talks about we're there to mature and build up one another and the body of Christ into maturity. That is all of our parts, is to mature each other. We are not to tear each other down. We've spent how many weeks on five core tenets? And that is what encompasses this. And without these things, disciple making does not happen. It just doesn't. Without honor and humility and trust and hearts for reconciliation and unity, it just doesn't happen. And so we're very excited about what's happening here about in regards to disciple making. Can anybody tell me what the vision of Grace Church is? No, not you. Gladys, what is it? Advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time. And I was chuckling this morning as I was hanging out with Jesus about how he brilliantly puts together words for us and language, because it is advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time. But we have been a church that has focused on our relationship with the Lord, which is primary, and the masses. We have been completely weak in the area of taking the one heart at a time and growing them. It's just been our weakness. I'm not sure how many of you have heard Pastor Steve say it and others. We have been unbalanced because we've been up and we've been out to the masses. But that in, that one heart at a time, has been missing. And we believe this is a vehicle that will totally not only get us balanced in the up, in, and out, but also bring that into manifestation here at Grace Church. And it's exciting. It's exciting. So I mentioned 2017 when I was away in Colorado. The Lord did a lot of things, but one of the things that he did, he gave a directive to me personally, and he said to begin, build, and grow a movement of disciple making. And I was like, sounds great. I don't have a clue how to do this. I mean, I know that I'm over discipleship and I can handle writing small group curriculum and getting people together because I like people and I'm a certified teacher. I can deal with that. But what in the world do you do about a movement of disciple making? A movement is not something that I use in my vocabulary even. That's not something you hear me use often. And so I knew, and disciple making was not either. So I knew it was the Lord, because it was language I didn't know, and we were about ready to go on a journey. So I started asking myself these questions. What is our long-term strategy at Grace Church for making disciples? And once we make them, how do they then help people become disciples? And then I started asking myself, well, what is my strategy long-term for doing this? Let's figure out what mine is before I can even figure out what the church's is, right? And so as I began to ask these questions, the first thing I realized is I got to figure out what a disciple is. And so a disciple at the very basic is a learner, just a learner of Jesus. But everybody knows when you learn to drive a car, you better like get out there and do it, right? You can't just think about it. And you need to have a lot of practice at doing it and actually walking it out for you to have decent insurance rates and to be able to keep your license, right? And so as I began to pour into resources and time with the Lord and learning tools like Eat the Word and things like that, the Lord began to really define what it is to be a disciple. And so as we go into that, I want to read Matthew 28, very famous, 18 through 20. And this says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So be it.'" So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you have a notebook, I want you to get it out. If you don't, there's index cards in front of you. And I want you to answer these questions. We're going to like sit here for a few minutes. Okay? I'm okay with silence, right? Those of you that walk with me in disciple making know that, right? Answer these questions. What is your definition of a disciple? They're on the screen. What is your definition of what it is to make disciples? And what is your definition of discipleship? I'm going to let you guys ponder on those questions as we go back into Matthew 28. I want to talk through this verse. So when I said that a disciple at its simplest form is a learner, that is true. But that is actually a person, like a disciple. So Jacqueline as a disciple, that's a noun. That's who she is. But when you look at this verse, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples." That's actually a verb. You're actually not making people in the sense. It's something you're doing. Like the Lord makes people. We get to participate. And so when you look at the original language, it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, having gone, disciple all nations." Like having gone in the authority, having gone in who Jesus is, because then it goes forth or goes further and talks about baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that word name there is the character and the nature, but it's also by one's command and authority acting on his behalf and promoting his cause. Right here, he is asking you to go disciple all nations. And nations just means people groups. So it doesn't mean you have to travel all over. If you work, you have a people group. Whoever you work with, whoever you're in contact with. If you're a physical therapist and you have clients, that would be your people group. The people in your home are people groups. The people sitting around you are people groups. So that is even what it means by all nations. Now, does it include going to Honduras or anywhere like that? Yes. But it actually means people group. But it says to go and make disciples. Go and disciple all people groups that you're involved in. Baptizing them, immersing them, sinking them in the character and the nature, promoting his cause. And his cause is that the kingdom would come. And the making disciples, disciples are the delivery system of the kingdom of God to the world via the Holy Spirit. Think about that. That's what he's asking you to do. Now, how about that mandate, right? It can be heavy if you think on it too much. But that last verse says, "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." That's his promise. Hey, you're not doing this alone. I'm asking you to go do this, but you are not doing this alone. And so even in this verse where it says to teach them all things and or to teach them to observe all things, that word teach is the thing taught indicated by a following. That's all it is. It's not you have to have some message prepared. It's not you have to have some script or speech or anything. It literally means to train by a following, taught, indicated by a following, and to train. Like teaching your kids how to ride a bike. You don't say, hey, here's your bike. Okay, put your feet here on these pedals, hold your hand here, and just take off, right? I mean, and you might initially just to see if they know how to do it. But then it's like every step of this, you put training wheels on, and you teach them how to steer, and you teach them how to stop. Every stage, you train them, and you follow them. They follow your example. You put your hands there, you show them. You don't just tell them. It's something in partnership. And that is what he's asking us to do, is to disciple them with him with us. That takes a lot of the pressure off because you're promoting his cause, acting on his behalf. Our only thing is to stay connected to him and walk out our obedience. And that is easy, my friends. It's only a choice. It's only a choice. When the very first time I ate the scripture, it was actually the very first time I was taught the tool of eat the word. At the end, the most important part is to ask the Lord, what are you speaking to my heart? And what obedience am I going to walk out? And this is the Jesus letter. I'm so excited. It's hanging in my office, but I found it last night. And this was from November 30th of 2017. And after I ate the scripture, Jesus said, Gretchen, what I'm asking you to partner with me and the giver of life, because that's the Father, is something that is huge and of great importance. To impart knowledge of me to them and know and how to move towards this knowledge being applied knowledge. Knowledge with me in sight, to maintain these concepts as my breath inside of you and them. Love, Jesus. Now, this takes on a whole new meaning to me in 2021 than it did in 2017. Because it's all about, it's exactly what Steve talked about right before I got up here, about it being applied knowledge, putting it into our daily life, but with maintaining the concepts, but as his breath inside of us. We don't do it apart from him. It has to be with him and only with him. And I love that. And when he gave me this instruction in Colorado about begin, build, and grow a movement of disciple making, he said, focusing on 2 Timothy 2:2. And I was like, okay. So I had to go look it up. And we're going to talk about that, but it's all about, well, let me just put it up there. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and these things you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, this word teach is the same teach as the teach in the Great Commission. It is the same teach. It's not, I'm going to sit here and teach you like I am today. Like right now, I have no clue who is learning anything, who is retaining anything, who is making their Walmart shopping list on their, in their head or on their phone. I don't know who's snapping me, who's not, you know? I have no clue because it's, that teach means you walk alongside each other. And it becomes applied knowledge. It becomes something that you do together. And Brian and I were eating the scripture this weekend because I couldn't find where I had eaten it before. And that where it says that the things that you have heard from me, that me is Paul, okay? Paul is writing this to Timothy, okay? This isn't the Lord saying it to us, but he is telling him what to do. And right here, this word where it says from me in the presence, that in the Greek actually says the Lord is the source for the things Paul said that Timothy has heard and learned. Like Paul spoke it to Timothy, but the Lord is the source. Like, this is something that the Lord asked us to do, is to find a reliable and faithful people. Now, you might be somebody that's faithful and reliable to make your house payment on time or your electric bill, like you've never had a late payment and things like that. But are you reliable in the way that this is mentioned here? And let me read this definition. It's someone who shows faithfulness and reliability in the execution of commands and can be relied on. So if Jesus gave us a command to go and disciple all nations, are we faithful and reliable to execute that command? And it makes so much sense when you marry those together, when he said to begin, build, and grow a movement of disciple making and find reliable people who will also do the same, who will execute a command. Most of us have been educated and trained to the system and the organization of a church or to ministry, and that's not all bad unless we leave him in the wayside, right? Most of us, though, have never been actually equipped to make a disciple. I talked about that. I was in discipleship training. I'm 43. I was on discipleship training for years and years and years. The Lord put it in my heart when I was young about discipleship and things like that, and even the Great Commission. But what does that really look like besides mission trips? Most of us haven't really been equipped to go and make disciples. We maybe have been equipped to pray or to read the scripture or, you know, things like that, witness to somebody. But what does it truly mean to disciple the people groups that are around you? Raise your hands. Like, how many of you have been like me and you've been involved in discipleship sometime in your life? Maybe not here at Grace, but sometime. Yeah. Well, George Barna sums it up in his book, Growing True Disciples. He says, almost every church in our country has some type of discipleship program or set of activities. Stunningly, few churches have a church of disciples. If we hope to make a significant difference in the lives of individuals and the nation's culture, then we must increase our intentionality, our intensity, and improve our strategies. Bill Hull says, we are using the same words, but speaking a different language when it comes to disciples. Just like if I say the word dog, some of you have Dachshunds in your mind and some of you have Doberman. Some of you are like, they belong inside and some outside. Some are like, I'm allergic to them and I'm not. Some are like, man, hairs everywhere and oh, I love puppy kisses, right? Everybody has their own view, their own definition, everything of what it is for a dog. It's the same thing. We say dog and everybody has their definition, right? Big dogs, little dogs. And so that's why I asked you to write down the answers to those questions. Like, what is your definition of a disciple? And what does it look like? How would you define what it is to make a disciple? So we're going to look at where Grace Church has landed on the definition of a disciple. It is someone that abides in him, which creates a deep desire and delight of walking in his ways, his character, and our obedience as fruit, which creates a byproduct of doing his works. That is the definition after studying out scripture that we have landed on as a disciple. Now, I guarantee you, most everything that was written down today actually is correct. Just like the definitions or the examples that I gave as dogs are correct, right? Some people are allergic to them. Some people are not. Some people think they should be outside. Some don't. Some want big dogs. Some want little dogs, right? There's no right or wrong. But what it is there's no unity in it. And if we're going to be able to make disciples, we all need to have the same goal and be on the same page going for the same thing. Not language to where we just talk it, but where we understand it and we know, like, this is where we're going. This is what the Lord is asking us to do. And so very simple. A disciple abides, walks in his ways, and does his works. Very simple definition. And so here's a beautiful diagram. Because I will tell you this, Steve talked about it. We have a good understanding here at Grace Church. If you've been here for very long at all, about intimacy, about what it is to really be connected to Him. Now, you might not always do it all the time. Anybody besides me guilty of that, right? But you have heard it. You have heard about sitting with Jesus, staying connected to Him, being sourced by Him, all of those things. And if you notice right here, there is an arrow that goes from abiding to ways. And ways just means character and nature. Now, I can go right now and I can love Ed. Gretchen can love Ed. Or I can go abiding in Jesus and I can love Ed. It's going to be two totally different loves because it's all on what you're sourced. So it's not we go and manifest and we produce and all of this stuff, His ways, His character, His nature, His fruit, what He looks like, His kindness, His generosity. We can't go and do it apart from Him. Like, there will be no fruit that remains if it's apart from Him. And actually, that word fruit in John 15 means two life streams flowing together. Like, that's what fruit is. It's our life stream and it's His life stream. That bears fruit. We cannot bear fruit apart from Him. And fruit that remains, that word remains means never dies. So if we are talking about we are staying connected to Him all of the time and abiding and setting with Him, and then out of that, we begin to walk in His ways, which is His fruit, love, peace, patience, kindness. I mean, I've been told in my own house, would you just please be nice, Mom? Would you please just be kind? Anybody been guilty of that? Like, why are you being hateful? Why are you not being patient? Well, I can tell you right now why. Because I'm not connected to my source. I have unhooked my umbilical cord from the Father, and I have connected to Gretchen. And there is not fruit coming out of me unless it is connected to Him. There is no way. Because I am one of two life streams that flow together to produce fruit, and not one. And so then you notice that an arrow goes from ways to works. You can stay connected to Him and go and pray for somebody, but if you aren't letting His character and His nature flow through you, man, you can do some damage. Anybody that speaks, you know, like their mind in here besides me? Anybody? Yeah. I mean, like, we can take the Lord with us, but if we're not yielding and letting His character and His nature be us, like, we're going to kill some people. And it is not going to be glorious. It is not going to be good. And so, what does it look like by when I talk about works? Because just like how Pastor Steve said earlier, obedience in grace circles can be a good thing. Like, it can be a good word. So can works be. In Genesis, He taught us a rhythm of work and rest, right? He produced, He created, and then He rested. And then He told us to go and multiply, right? And He taught us what it was to rest as we did that, to rest in Him. But then there's also times to rest our soul. But works is not a bad word. But how many of you have prayed for somebody that was sick? That is doing His works. How many of you have spoken truth to somebody? That is His works. Praying for people, preaching the good news, praying, all of those things are His works. Anything that you saw Jesus do is His works. He always stayed connected to the Father, though. And he walked in the ways of the life giver, which is the Father. The source and the giver of life is what the word Father means. And so as Jesus stayed connected to his Father, he manifested the character and the nature of the Father. Because like the word says that God is Christ-like. So whatever you saw in Jesus, that is who the Father is. Like God is Christ-like. And out of that character and nature, he went and did the things he did. And if you notice, like Jesus had disciples that hung out with him and he did life with them for 3.5 years. And they had kingdom knowledge, right? Anybody see that? They had kingdom knowledge. But until they were able to really abide because of the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 coming in them, they really couldn't walk in his ways. I mean, they tried, but they couldn't. They didn't have the indwelling life of Christ inside of them like we as believers do now. In fact, the promise in Acts 1 that Jesus said, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witness. Like, this final command that you're going to receive this power and you're going to go be my witness made the Great Commission possible. Like, there was no way to go and disciple all nations to be learners and followers and lovers of Jesus without having the indwelling life of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And so in Acts 2, it happened, and they were able to do it. But he gave the command to walk in the ways as he modeled it. Like, Jesus is a disciple maker, and he is the greatest model of what that looks like. He's not just perfect theology, he's the perfect strategist. I mean, he showed us time and time again what it looks like to make disciples. And he doesn't just order us to go look back at this right here in Matthew 28. He doesn't just tell us to go make disciples, but he tells us he's going to be with us. And in Acts 2, he made that possible when the Holy Spirit came and indwelt every person. That's the only way it happens. Only way it happens. I love this excerpt from Mike Breen. He's one of the resources I've used pieces of it for what the Lord's taught me in disciple making. But he says, if you make disciples, you always get the church. Now, he's not talking about an organization. He's talking about the ecclesia. Like, if you make disciples, if you teach people, train them, walk with them, grow them up as you're growing yourself to stay connected to him, to walk in the character and the nature as a byproduct, and then go and do his works out of the overflow, like, you will always get the church. But if you make a church, you rarely get disciples. Effective disciple making builds the church, not the other way around. We need to understand the church as the effect of disciple making, not the cause. If you set out to build the church, there's no guarantee you will make disciples. It is far more likely that you will create consumers who depend on the spiritual services and classes that religious professionals provide. And that is not what we want at Grace Church. We want you becoming a disciple of Jesus, somebody that truly abides in him, that out of that connection and that being sourced all the time, knows how to love, knows how to be patient, and knows how to do the works of the Lord. Like, that's what we desire. That's what we want. I think I mentioned this earlier, but disciples are the delivery system of the kingdom of God to the world with the power and the backing of the Holy Spirit. Like, when you look at the works, when you look at this, think about, just dream for a minute that everybody in this room was this all the time. Like, the world would look different. Talking about culturalizing our workplace, talking about culturalizing Choctaw, Oklahoma County, Eastern Oklahoma County, all the places you go. If we really all looked like this, if we really abided in him and walked out his character and nature and then did the things that he did. So just a couple of things. Obviously next week, I'm going to get to go a little further on what it looks like, but just a couple of quick, maybe an introduction to what it looks like here at Grace Church is disciple making is relational Jesus style. That's what we really feel like he is asking us to do. You're not going to be able to, I've got a girl that I'm walking with right now, and bless her heart, right? Stacy, she asks me all the time to just write it down and give her a notebook. Does she not? All the time. And what do I say? Ain't gonna happen, right? Because she just wants to saturate herself in it. But like the Holy Spirit reminds us of all things, and he teaches us all things, old and new. Like that is who he is in our life. So you're not going to find a program or a curriculum or anything like that, but it's relational in Jesus style. We do have what I call kind of a toolbox to pull from. I'll get into this more next week, but the toolbox as far as like, how many of you, I'm trying to think men and women here, because some of us women are kind of handy, or at least we know how to tell somebody to be handy, right? Come on. All right. So, you know, anybody changed like a wax ring on a toilet or hung a shelf, right? Yeah. All right. So when you change a wax ring on a toilet, you have one set of tools, and when you hang a shelf, you have a different set, right? It's the same with what we're doing here in disciple making, what he's building, what he's given us. It's like we have this toolbox and we pull from it as the Holy Spirit directs. That's it. That's the curriculum. And like the dear sweet friend that I have walking with me that wants it all written down, it's not all written down. It's just pieces. Now, eat the word is one of the tools. Okay. That's one of the tools that we have for abiding, for our up with the Lord. Another tool, if you guys were here, I don't know, a year or two ago when I taught about what's in your box, I actually put that into a message, but that's a tool that I got to have a lot of fun at the youth retreat, right, Ben? And teaching them about the identity triangle and how to identify, like, when my character and my nature, my attitude, my beliefs, my thoughts, my feelings don't look like Jesus, my identity's jacked. And what do I do? So there's some tools like that, but it's nothing that I'm going to be able to email a PDF to. Does that make sense? Why? Go back to the top. It's relational and it's Jesus style. He didn't go hand the disciples a scroll with all the things that they needed to know on it. But yet he walked with them and he taught them and he introduced it. And the one thing I hate more than anything is when people come and ask me to teach them a tool, because you've got to experience it when the Holy Spirit wants you to. Like that's what it's about. The Holy Spirit is the author of, like he is the agent, change agent, he's the new birth, like he provides all of that inside of us. He is that. There's no way just to go and make it happen. The next thing is there's four core tenets that we focus on. Balanced Christianity. I talked about the up, the in, and the out. In disciple making, you will spend a lot of time in the up. Like, why? Because if you don't know how to abide, you're not going to look like Jesus. All right? So you will spend a lot of time there, but you will spend a lot of time in the in. And there will be times, those of us that don't enjoy the in as much as others, we want to hang ourselves. I mean, I'm talking figuratively. But it's like, do we really have to listen to this over and over and over? Can you just get free and walk out your obedience? And then the Lord taps you on the shoulder and says, remember the obedience I'm still trying to get you to walk out? And you're like, oh, yes, forgive me, Lord. Like, that is the end, because you learn to fight for each other and you learn to love each other, not just tolerate. But then you will spend time in the out. So the eat the word that we are providing in February, at the end of February, is actually mission for my discipleship group. Like, we are going to minister to you. They are going to teach you how to eat the word and let the Holy Spirit show you the things that he wants to show you through whatever scripture we're going to do. They're going to build that night. They're going to design what it looks like. They're going to sit with the Lord and ask him. So those of you who are in my groups, you better just take note here. But they're going to sit with the Lord and they're going to ask him, like, what scripture should we do? What does this look like? What do you have for me? How many people should we have in each group? Like, Lord, what do you want for us at Grace Church? This is our first time to ever do this. Like, we have nothing to go off of, but that is going to be our out. We're actually going to teach it to another organization too. I'm working on some logistics there, and we're going to minister out, but we only do those things for the purpose of growing people and abiding with him to walk in his ways and to do his works. It's all for the purpose of helping somebody become more of a disciple of Jesus than they are today. That's what the out is for. Like, it blows my mind how outreach has transformed for me. So I was here for the Thanksgiving Day outreach for the first time in my life. Because my son, well, we've always been gone. We weren't this year. But my son just kept texting me a couple of times every week. Can we please do Thanksgiving Day outreach? Can we please do it? I'm like, what 12-year-old keeps asking their parents to do this? And the Lord said, hello, are you going to disciple him and walk along him in the up and in the out? Or are you just going to walk alongside of him in the up and the in? And I was like, ugh. I'm unbalanced in this with him. And so we came and we did this outreach together and we were here early. And then when I went to go and deliver my food, he was delivering food with his brothers and his dad. I grabbed somebody that is in my, she's not in mine, but she's in Annie's disciple making group. And I was like, hey, come deliver this with me. Why? Because I'm going to deliver food to this place all to help somebody become more of a disciple of Jesus. And so I took Myra with me. Let's do this together. It's not because I have a codependency issue, and it's not because I have to have somebody with me or I just like her. Now, I like her, but it's all for the purpose of, like, hey, how's your freedom going? What's the Lord been teaching you lately? Those types of things. Like, it changes your whole focus on what outreach is when you really learn what it is to make disciples. This is long term. We're going to talk about the four phases very briefly next week. And when I say long term, it can be 1 year, it can be 3 years. Right now, my current group in February will be at 2 years. And just like in your home, there are some children that are ready to leave the house at 18, and there are some that stay with you till they're 30. maybe not. You know what I'm saying? You just never know, right? And so, like, there's no time frame. There's no start and end date. It's all relational and Jesus style. And getting involved, we're going to talk about how you can get involved. And the meet and greet, you can ask questions as well. But it isn't something you sign up for. Now, you can communicate your interest to me or any of the other disciple makers, as far as those that have been through what we're calling this deepest level at Grace Church, this layer. But it operates by the person of peace. And I'm going to talk about that in Luke 10. It also, if you're not a reliable person, if you're not a faithful person to the commands that Jesus is asking you to walk out, like, you need to ask yourself why. Because what he said was to go and find reliable men and women that can also teach. And that's who you disciple. Also, your soil. We're going to talk about soils next week. Soil progressing to good. It doesn't mean you have to be great soil, when you come and you begin disciple making and walking with somebody, but you need to be progressing and hungering and longing to be good soil. And it's not just in your speech, it's in your actions. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come up. And so just briefly, what do you do while you're waiting? Is be patient and pursue the Lord. Right now, my first group that I had, we started with 12, ended with 10, and I think there's six that maybe or seven that are walking alongside people right now. And so they've got people that they are discipling to become disciples of Jesus, to learn what it really looks like to abide. John 14:26 says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, and he will remind you of all things. Like, he will grow you if you yearn after him. Grow to be reliable men and women. Make the decision to be good soil. Get involved in a discovery group. Sometimes people come to me and say, man, the Lord's laid it on my heart to maybe search out this person and invite them in into a disciple-making relationship. Do you know if they're involved in anything? Do you know if they're faithful to attend the things that they've signed up for? Why? Because that speaks volumes if you're going to walk through a process of disciple-making. And then come to opportunities like Eat the Word. Like, disciple makers are looking for these types of people to sow their life into. It is gut-wrenching to sow your life into somebody and then them decide to leave. Or they won't change their mind to the things that the Lord keeps asking them to change their mind about and to walk out their obedience. Give you just a couple of quick benefits that some people in my group have shared, because it's a huge commitment. Because some will say yes, but some will say the commitment then is too much. But personal growth and getting equipped, learning how to abide with the Father and being sourced by him and helping others do the same. Community. Learning how to take our situations and circumstances and walking them out with the Lord and teaching people to do the same. An atmosphere of mutual support and healthy relationships that help each other grow in Christ. Walking out what a disciple of his truly is for the first time in my life. Scripture time with him and how I approach others has new meaning to it. It has given me language and tools to put in my toolbox to help other believers walk in their relationship with their Lord. I am able to have a group of people that knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about me and my life, and I feel comfortable to share my struggles because of spiritual family we've become. I had a hard time trusting others, as it's sometimes the Lord is still breaking me from. But I have had to learn to be vulnerable, which I hate being with others, and believe the lie that others don't care about my feelings or what I share. I had to learn to put my guard down with strangers that I hardly know anything about. I had to trust the process, whereas I didn't consider the importance of it until we dove deeper week by week and considered these people a friend, let alone my spiritual family. I've had to learn to partner with the Holy Spirit and listen to language, not just words that they're saying, to know how to help them, whether it is solely a scripture to give them or a scripture-based tool. And I love this one, finding joy in relationship with the Lord. So if you were in my first discipleship group, I want you to stand up. I want people to be able to identify who you are so they can come and ask questions. Jody, Laura, or my second group too, sorry. Forgot. Laura, Stacy, Zach was up here singing on the stage. Jessica's behind the stage. Annie's another one. Some of them aren't here because they're serving in other places. They're quarantined. They're traveling. And then there's some of you that are walking with or about ready to walk with. You guys can stay standing. Sorry, I know it feels awkward. There's some of you guys that are walking with, and it's not me, or you're fixing to be walking with somebody else. I know my husband, Josh, Steve, Somebody else. Like, these are people, I want you to ask them questions. Now, they may not have an answer yet, right? But inquire of this. Like, if the Lord is going to build this thing, we have to ask the questions that we have within us. So the rest of you go ahead and stand. Everybody stand. I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you, guys.
So she's, amen. She and a few of us will make our way back to the fellowship hall for the meet and greet. If you have questions.
And if you're going to the meet and greet.
Yeah, go ahead and slip out.
Go ahead and slip out. Yeah, thank you.
In disciple making, you don't just tell them, you show them. One of the things the Lord has showed me through this process, there's a tool that talks about information, imitation, and innovation. We give you lots of great information. We give you lots of revelation and truth about the new covenant, the grace lens we talked about. Imitation. This is a great pathway where we walk together to grow each other in Christ. And so it's kind of a pathway designed to help you develop in your intimacy, like we were saying earlier, to see the fruit of the Lord in your life and then to do the stuff, right? Do the things that Jesus did. So, Father, we thank you this morning for the good word of God. We thank you for pathways of growth. We've always said, Lord, we don't want to play church. We want to be the real deal. We want to hear you say, Lord, follow me. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you once again. We thank you for everything that you're building, growing, and developing within us as a church family. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.